I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Firm Ticket Stock 2026. Put on your boat shoes, shades, and Hawaiian shirt, and let's all get laid. February 20th and 21st at the Plano Event Center. Full schedule at theticket.com. Brought to you by Texas Coin, Chiloso Mexican Bistro, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Claypool Gold featuring Primus, Les Claypool's Frog Brigade, and the Claypool Lennon Delirium is coming to the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory June 25th. Get tickets and info at LiveNation.com. You can text GOLD to 22126 for your chance to win a pair of tickets.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. DJ. We're live at the Doak Walker Awards Ceremony. Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame is loitering back there, taking pictures, and we'll either talk to him or Marshall Faulk here in just a few moments after we do a little Friday fun. So, did we say, yeah. So, over the shut-in weekend, that was last weekend, if you guys can remember all the way back to then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Don't know what you guys were doing, but there were spells of time where I'm like, all right, I don't want to watch college basketball. I don't want to watch whatever sport they're providing me with, which was very little. So let's just kind of just go to one of the apps and just start flying around and seeing if something's there that I want to watch.
Heated Rivalry?
I did not watch Heated Rivalry yet. I haven't. Episode one. I'm still stuck. And so we're headed to San Francisco, as we all know, on Sunday morning. And there was a significant death in the world of San Francisco. And so I saw a documentary pop up on Netflix called The Other One. And The Other One is a documentary on the recently passed Bob Weir from The Grateful Dead. This is not a segment about Bob.
Thank God.
It is a segment, though.
RIP, but thank God.
Yeah. It is a segment, though, on rock and rollers and how much tail they get.
Is this about the guy whose wiener fell off or split in half?
No.
Three Dog Night again?
Chuck Negron, he's not part of this this discussion. So Bob Weir was a good-looking fella. And he was in a band of guys that were not good looking. All right?
Right, yeah. Like all the hippie girls, if they're looking up on stage, that one.
Right. And so here is the brief story. Now, there's a point to all this because later on Bob gets married. All right? But here is the story, the brief synopsis of Bob Weir and women in The Grateful Dead.
Everybody had girlfriends. Pigpen had a steady girlfriend. Phil had a steady girlfriend. Bobby didn't really have steady girlfriends. He had lots of girlfriends.
He was the best-looking guy in the band. Come on. What are you going to do?
That's Sammy Hagar.
Bob Weir was the handsomest guy in the Dead, okay? I've been that guy in other bands before. I know what it's like.
Said that they needed one good-looking guy in the band to catch the ladies, and that's why they put up with Weir's sh-.
The band loved him because A, he was really cute and drew the girls, and then the biggest part, the most important part, is he was game for it all.
There's beautiful Bobby surrounded by the Ugly Brothers. You know, I mean, you're going to go to bed with somebody from the band. Is it going to be Pigpen?
Bob had the party room all wired. He had a big boom box made, too big to get into the room. So he had to split it in half to get it in there. And then after the show, the quippies manned the door, you know, no guys, just gals. And so we all used to take Bob's runoff.
So I guess I got a reputation as being kind of the heartthrob of the Grateful Dead. So after the show, if there were folks backstage, the girls were going to come my way mostly. And they did. And I, am I going to complain about that? I got to shop around a bunch.
So this went on from the 60s through the 70s, through the 80s, through the 90s, and Bob was, he was getting it. Oh, they're bringing over Jeremiah Love right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Within the next 4 or 5 minutes, it looks like.
Well, there he is.
Oh, even sooner.
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Well, that's an awkward transition.
Well, maybe he'll be interested.
Some of these thoughts off him.
How many chicks Bob Weir banged?
Probably not. Probably not. We'll finish up Bob Weir later on.
Think he's heard about Bob Weir?
Because there is a shocking end to this whole situation.
Okay. Oh, is that right?
Yes.
All right.
All right, thanks to the great Jeremiah Love for joining us out here at the Doak Walker Awards. We'll talk to our old buddy Joel Klatt here in just a minute, who has a big function, I think, out as part of the process of making everybody laugh. Maybe he's got a stand-up routine that he's going to do tonight. We'll try to get in on the Joel Klatt jokes here in just a second. So before Jeremiah Love walked over here, I played for you guys some audio as we're going to San Francisco on Sunday. For
what?
The Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, you should get a ticket first.
I might.
I played you some audio about Bob Weir, who just passed away from the Grateful Dead, and what a womanizer he was, basically based on the fact that he was the only good-looking guy in the band, which there's probably a bunch of bands like that. And so he was the guy for, you know, four decades or whatever. Well, so he starts to get near 50, Dave. And he has this realization.
By the time I was edging towards 50, I was looking around and wondering, now, is it possible to be a rock and roll tomcat and do it gracefully? And I looked around and I saw like Mick Jagger and guys like that. And I got to say, didn't look promising.
I remember Bob out on the porch one day at his house saying, you know, I think I'm in love.
You know, she was pretty, she was bright, she was a lot of fun. This girl's a great catch. Why don't we try this settling down thing?
You know, he's really smart, fun. I think he's brilliant.
Natasha's a very loving individual. The love he was feeling from her is something that just probably filled a big void in him, too. And then with the birth of Monet, it was just mind-boggling for him to have that experience. He was present at the birth, and that feeling of being a father and just the incredible miracle of creation.
Our lives changed dramatically after Monet and Chloe. He did a 180. Became dedicated father, family man, and he has so much love for me. He's dedicated to his family. He's just so present when he's with you, and that's what I love about him.
Okay.
I feel lucky to have the family that I have.
Stop it there. So...
so he had his fill of ass,
yes.
And he settled down.
Now, did it sound like that woman that was speaking there was quite a few years younger than him?
Yes.
Okay.
So he was almost 50. I'm guessing she was like 25.
You are on the nose. Okay. So,
man, how are you so good at this?
He can tell voices.
Because I know how the game should be played.
Man, this guy's great.
All right, so you're like, okay, well, yeah. So he met this 25-year-old, and he's like, damn, this is awesome. This is great. I can settle down and ride this out forever. Okay, so here is the wife, Natasha. When did you guys meet?
The first time I met Bob, I was in 10th grade. My girlfriend...
huh.
That's the point of the documentary that... I jumped off the couch. I rewound it just to make sure I heard this correctly.
What?
The first time I met Bob, I was in 10th grade.
So let's let
how
this...
How is he meeting a 10th grader?
Well, let's let this play out.
My girlfriend, at the end of the show, she said, I'm going to get us backstage. And I really didn't believe her, but she grabbed my hand and... ran me through the crowd, and then Lynn said, hi, we're here to meet Bob Weir. And then Like a minute later, he was walking over.
They were 15 at the time. So, like, you know, okay.
My daughter's in.
But they were a lot of fun.
We began a friendship.
Oh.
And then we remained friends. I used to see him on the road, and I would sleep in the parlor. But then he would have, like, a woman in there or women, or I would wake up and then suddenly there's lingerie in the bathroom.
What?
Dude, I'm looking at the TV and I'm like looking around to see if anybody's watching this, you know? I'm like, what am I seeing?
And you vote him in.
And this is your hero.
So he is. So he meets, this girl comes backstage when she's 15. So he would have been 40.
Okay.
Right? That's how the math works.
Uh-huh.
And 35, 40, whatever. And is like, and so when he says in that clip of, you know, I met her when she was 15, and then he kind of threw his hands back, like, oh. So I was like, you know, no. But they were a lot of fun. So apparently they were big groupies, and they would just travel around. And so she, you know, became older, 18, 19, 20, whatever, would sleep somewhere in the band's vicinity while he's got women in the room, and she's in the outside, and like lingerie's...
They're staying at the Embassy Suites, and she's on the love seat out there.
Yeah, and he's got chicks in there, and that's who he ended up marrying.
I wonder, so he met her at 15. How long did he wait?
I'm interested in the sentence structure as well of she was 15, comma, but she was a lot of fun. As if in some sort of way that's a qualifier that either...
Not a typical 15-year-old.
What the heck are we... What are we doing here, sir? And that's his version of settling down?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Well,
you talk about...
I mean, it's interesting.
A record scratch at the Davidson household, though. I was like, what? And she is, she's 55 now, 58, I don't know how old she is, and she's still drop-dead gorgeous. Their kids are 30 and drop-dead gorgeous and all that, but yeah, I found it all just a little weird.
Huh.
From old Bobby.
So, he might not be in Trifecta Lakes, he might be in Lower Heaven.
Well,
so we should play the disclaimer now, huh?
Yeah. I told you, the audio was not for the sake of audio. There was a point to the madness, and it hits home pretty quick when you hear that, we met first when I was in the 10th grade.
Oh, God.